Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Gasper!
And Murray.
Brady will come up to the line of scrimmage and take a knee. We're inside 40 seconds to go. And that is going to do it. And the Patriots are 18-0. And for the fourth time in 7 years, Super Bowl, here we come. The Patriots, the American Football Conference champions.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That, of course, was the call from the late, great Gil Santos. The last time the New England Patriots faced the then San Diego Chargers in the playoffs, the AFC Championship game in 2007. A call that I think truly shows the juxtaposition between Chris Gasper and myself. Because, Chris, I think you hear that call and you're probably all like, oh, the unbeaten season.
Yes.
The greatest accomplishment in Patriots history. I wish I owned the banner. And I hear it now near a decade later. And it still gives me stomach pains because sitting there that day in section 224, freezing my ass off.
Yeah, that was a cold one.
I just remember thinking, oh, wow, this unbeaten team getting worse by the week now for like five straight weeks. Brady almost cost them the AFC Championship game because he had, what, three interceptions? I remember one brutal one in the end zone.
Yeah, he was terrible in that game. He was banged up.
And then we all piled in my buddy's RV after the game was over, watched the Giants upset the Packers, and my friend Al and I looked at each other while the rest of the other idiots are in the van celebrating, thinking, ah, the Pats got an easy out in the Super Bowl coming up. And my friend Al and I looked at each other and said, we've seen this team before. It's the 2001 Patriots. We have problems here. And, of course, a couple of weeks later, we're proven right. No need to relive the horrible past, though. It's playoff eve. We have the Patriots coming off the bye, hosting the now Los Angeles Chargers, the nomad Chargers that I feel like don't really have a home. This was, I think, going into this one, the worst possible draw for the Pats. But as the week has gone on, even though I haven't believed in this team much all season, and I nailed the 11-5 prediction that I said they would finish before the season. No need to sit here and pat myself on the back for that one, though. And I found myself actually feeling better and better about it as the week has gone on. And I still kind of can't figure out why. And I didn't want to buy too much into the old Charger thing, but history, at least in terms of the AFC picture of the playoffs this weekend, Chris, I think history is going to end up repeating itself in some way, shape, and form. And by that, I mean the Kansas City Chiefs are going to either, you know, exercise their playoff demons and finally win a playoff game at home for the first time since the early to mid-90s, or Phillip Rivers is going to exercise his demons and come in here, and this Chargers team's finally going to get over their playoff hump, and Phillip Rivers is going to, you know, finally get a win against Tom Brady, 0-7 lifetime, or it will repeat itself in one of these games, and I think that's what's going to happen here. The Patriots are going to win this game. The Chargers' stupidity, it's still on them, and I think you saw that kind of show up a little bit last week in the wild card game against Baltimore.
Oh, my God.
And I've been with you on this. They're the most talented team in the AFC. Maybe even make a case that they're the most talented team in the NFL this year. They've had two of the most impressive wins in the NFL this season, yes, on the road at Pittsburgh and at Kansas City. Two comebacks. That Thursday night game at Kansas City, you still stand by this, the most impressive win in the NFL
Correct.
This year, right?
Correct. Yeah, in my opinion, most impressive win, given the circumstances, absolutely.
So why do I feel so good about the Pats? And I think it's about the history. Now, I think it will repeat itself in Kansas City's case. I'll take the Colts today, and we'll get to that later. But the Pats, it really comes down to the fact they got the bye. I think, as much as I haven't believed in this team all year, Chris, it will benefit Tom Brady. It will benefit Rob Gronkowski. It will benefit guys like Julian Edelman, who have also been a little bit beat up this year. And I just don't. I don't see them losing in this spot. As talented as the Chargers are, I know that they've prepared for this game. I know they're not going to take this team lightly like they did with the Jets 8 years ago in this game. It's just, I think they have one left in them. You know, I still don't believe in them to get to the Super Bowl and to win the damn thing, but for this week, I do like the Pats.
Yeah, I like the Pats as well. And this is it's time for the old Globe Staff Picks PSA. So in the paper, they have me with the Chargers, which is my pick against the spread. So I'm taking the Chargers to cover, the Patriots to win. I think the game will be close. And I think that benefits the Patriots because down the stretch, when it comes to needing to execute in the clutch and under pressure, I think it's advantage Patriots because I still think you've seen it this year from the Chargers. And I agree. Look, I said it. That win in Kansas City was the most impressive win in the NFL this year for the Chargers. And you talk about the Pittsburgh win. But in those games, they had nothing to lose and had to come back. I think that's when they're dangerous, when they're down. I think if you hand them a lead, they're still going to charger it up, for lack of a better term, especially against the Patriots in this situation. Because this time of year, games are lost more than they're won. And the Chargers are traditionally one of those teams where they just make those mistakes. And even some of the mistakes they made against Baltimore last week, Jim, to let them back in that game. If you make those mistakes against the Patriots,
exactly.
you lose
yep.
that game. You know, they got away with it against Lamar Jackson. You're not going to get away with that against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in Gillette Stadium. I just don't know if the Chargers can play mistake-free football or they'll be good enough situationally to not open the door to the Patriots. And I think when they do open that door, the Patriots will go through it. I think it will be similar in some ways to the AFC Championship game last year against Jacksonville. I think you have a team that comes out an opponent with a great game plan that's fired up, that executes really well for, say, three quarters, and then they open the door and the Patriots go right through.
That fourth quarter last week in Baltimore was – because I've been bullish on this team like you for a while now.
No, they're good. I mean, they are real good.
And prior to Sunday, I said, look, if they end up drawing the Chargers, I'm taking L.A. because I think they are the most talented team in the AFC. That fourth quarter, it was like, oh, my God, they're doing it again. This Chargers team really can't. They can't get that funk off of them, of their history. Doesn't matter if they've moved to Los Angeles.
Schottenheimer DNA, baby.
Oh, my
can't
God.
Get rid of it.
And I agree completely. And that's really one of the things that changed my perspective and why I'm taking the Pats. Because if that was the Patriots, they're going to take full advantage of it.
Oh, yeah.
They did against Jacksonville last year, who held a lead and blew it away. And it had more to do with their defense and how they loosened up there. I mean, sure, they got conservative and tried to run the ball a little bit too much with Fournette.
Leonard Fournette.
Late in that game. But defensively, it's like they just got soft. And you had some of the guys afterwards, too, like Bouye complaining about
it.
They
were bull afterwards.
Yeah,
they were ripping, you know, Todd Wash, the ripping strong. But they were criticizing Todd Wash, the defensive coordinator. They you know, were basically saying, like, you didn't see Amendola do anything until we went to zone. You know, why didn't we play more man? Ramsey and Bouye were heated. They were pissed.
And I still think it's going to be a really competitive game and a bit of a roller coaster. But I think the Chargers, and specifically Phillip Rivers, is good for a mistake or two in a game like this. And the Patriots are going to take full advantage. And Baltimore couldn't, especially with Lamar Jackson, who, okay, got a little bit hot late. But I can't believe that they stuck with him that whole game.
Yeah.
It's just... I think history is going to end up biting that team in the ass this weekend. I really do. And Phillip Rivers is just, I like him. He's a super Christian Tony Romo to me. Like, he's game. He'll help you get to 9-7, 10-6. He's a competitive guy. Love the fire. Obviously tough as nails, but he is a mistake waiting to happen in a game like this.
Yeah, so I wrote this, you know, this week. I sort of used the old, like, Top Gun analogy. It's like Phillip Rivers is Maverick and Brady is Iceman, right? You know, Brady's just going to wait for you to make a mistake and capitalize. And at some point, Phillip Rivers... will leave his wingman. You can guarantee it. He will leave his wingman when he's not supposed to in pursuit of glory, and he'll make a play that he shouldn't make. You know, a play. That's the thing about Phillip Rivers. He's one of those guys, and he's had a wonderful season. He really has. But he's one of those guys that will make big plays for both teams.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. So he was a legitimate MVP candidate for most of the season. You really look at his numbers and how he played the last three games, including last week. Hasn't even reached 200 yards. Couple of picks or a pick a game. I think it's one touchdown in the last three games. He's kind of gone back to bad Phil Rivers.
Well, I'll say this, though. I will say this. I give him credit for the way he played last week. It's a very good Baltimore Ravens defense because he just took what they gave him. And there was one throw in that game. He was lucky. He got away with it. They even commented on it, you know, during the broadcast. He basically threw it. He tried to throw it to Mike Williams in, like, triple coverage. But other than that, he was pretty good, and he was a game manager. He just took what they gave him. But again, I think he'll be so fired up for Brady and Belichick. You know, I know he downplayed being 0-7 against Brady, but he knows it. And he's going to want to come out and prove something that I think at one point in this game, he will just throw caution to the wind and try and make a play, and it will backfire on the Chargers.
Am I putting too much stock in the bye and how I feel like this will help recharge players like Brady, who I still think has been, you know, injured for a little while now with that knee, Rob Gronkowski, yeah, who's been a shell of himself. But I do think with the bye, we could see one last appearance of Gronk, not Robert James Gronkowski, just another tight end. Am I putting too much stock in this?
I think you might be, just because Brady, I thought, got better towards the end of the year. But really, when I look at it, I don't look at his season and say that it was solely the result of health. Obviously, health was a factor, but I think it's a result of, in other words, I'll just be succinct. Is the bye week going to make Philip Dorsett better, or Chris Hogan better, or Cordarrelle Patterson better? Are they going to become better players over a bye week?
Well, no, they're just other, you know,
so to
just
me, like,
guys.
That's the real problem. And that's why I think maybe folks are putting too much stock in the bye. It's not like they get a whole new roster, or, you know, it's like a car that goes into the shop that you can upgrade for a week. That's after the bye week. They're still the same guys that they're going to have to rely upon and that he's going to have to throw to. And some of those matchups are not favorable for the Patriots against this really good Chargers defense. Now, it could make a difference with Gronk. You know, I've been on the record. I still think he has one more big game in him. You know, I don't know if it's this one, but I think he has one more big game in him, you know, this season. And that extra time for him, I'll be interested to see if he has more burst and he has more sudden movement ability. So that's one where it could play into it. But overall, just the idea, like, oh, you know, Brady's banged up and Brady's old, so this extra week he's going to come out and he's going to be great. His targets, his weapons are still his weapons. You know, and I think to some degree that limits him no matter how much time he has off.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Patriots, Chargers? Here we are. It's playoff eve. The game kicking off in, 26 hours away from game time at Gillette Stadium. Let's hear from you again. 617-779-0985. Chris, if you're cool with this, I want to touch on all the playoff games this weekend.
Yeah,
because we had, again, this is now like my two favorite weeks, I think, of the sports calendar year. I love Wild Card Weekend, and I thought it lived up to the hype last week. And now we have Divisional Weekend. I want to touch on the other games, including the one tonight with the L.A. Chargers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. And then tomorrow,
the L.A. Rams.
L.A. Rams. There shouldn't be two teams in L.A.
That game should be good.
The L.A. Rams and the Cowboys, I'm with you on that. And then tomorrow we have the Eagles. Oh, God. Go away. And the New Orleans Saints. And then the other AFC game. With the
Colts and Chiefs.
Colts
today.
And Chiefs today. Right, yeah. 617-779-0985. We'll get to you and talk NFL playoffs, Patriots, Chargers next here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gaspar and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gaspar and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 second to go in an 8-point game. L.A. has it. At the Patriot 23, ball on the right hand, two receivers right, Keenan Allen is back on the field, trips left, Patriots layer the end zone with defenders, snap over, stands in, throws it toward the goal line, intercepted, near side, and taking a knee for the Patriots, with a game-sealing interception, Jonathan Jones! He made a great play when the Patriots broke a 7-all tie with a safety. And he comes away with a football in his hands on the last gasp by Rivers and the Chargers. Who again today put forth a valiant effort, only to fall by the narrowest of margins. The Patriots prevail here in Foxborough by the 21-13 score.
It's a one-game season. You got to put it all on the line, whatever you're dealing with. You got to just put it all on the line. You know, if you lose that game, you're going home. So I would just say everyone's just leaving it all out there.
Great team. It's a great matchup. So hopefully we get our best game.
Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, talking about the matchup with the L.A. Chargers in the divisional round of the playoffs coming up tomorrow at Gillette Stadium. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. And prior to that, you heard the final call of last year's game, the 21-13 win, middle of October, right, if I recall correctly, Patriots over the Chargers there, where, again, if you remember, you saw some of that chargering it up, some of that Charger stupidity in that game. Who was the guy who ended up going back on the punt return?
Travis Benjamin
into his own end zone for just
a
like
safety.
Yeah, for the safety. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like
on a punt return.
That stupid team can't get the hell out of their own way. And the way that they had played this whole season with impressive wins at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City, at Seattle in week 9, just thought, wow, you take the team out of San Diego, maybe they get that funk off of them. No, they really tried to give it away last week, too.
Oh, they did.
Really, really did.
Yeah. Now, you can take the Chargers out of San Diego, but you can't take the San Diego out of the Chargers.
You can't. And that's one of the things I think ultimately things end up biting them in the ass tomorrow. And it really has to do with Phillip Rivers, who, while as impressive as he can be at times and was having an MVP caliber season, he's just good for a pick or two, a backbreaking one at that, in the playoffs time and again. And I wanted to try to convince myself, well, can history repeat itself in both instances in the AFC playoffs this weekend? And I think that it will. I think that you're going to see the Patriots win tomorrow, and I also think you're going to end up seeing the Colts win today. We'll get to that. But let's hear from you on Patriots Chargers at 617-779-0985. Frank the Tank will lead us off here. Frank in the truck. Hi, Frank.
Lee Rocco, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Frank.
Look, first off, about Phillip Rivers. Look, as a proud father of two children and one on the way, dude, get a nightlife. Leave your wife alone. She's a woman, not a Pez dispenser. I mean, geez, nine kids. I mean, dude, leave her alone. As far as the game goes, guys, I want to see if Bill is going to put is going to shadow one guy and put two on another. As far as the receivers goes, I really don't care which one he does it with, but I'd like to see them take away their receivers early and often in the game and hit them in the mouth any chance they get, especially because it's going to be cold tomorrow. There's no doubt that Gronkowski is going to be a big key to this game. If they can get him going early, I think it's going to scare the Chargers. And of course, you know, Edelman, he's always going to be good. I feel it's playoff time. The dude always plays big in the playoffs. What my question to you guys is, though, what all this week, all the talk, everything going on, is there something that hasn't been discussed about how the Patriots can attack the Chargers? That's my question, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Frank. Well, the one thing that you keep hearing is how you would be likely, at least going into this, based on the matchups and how the Chargers have had difficulty defending the running backs in the passing
they
game,
have,
that
yes.
The Patriots would attack. You know, you attack them, you know, maybe going more to James White. Hell, maybe Sony Michel finally gets involved in the passing game a little bit more. I would like to see that. But, I don't know, as susceptible as this team has been to the run, the Chargers, would you be surprised if the Patriots came out and started five wide, you know, just to switch things up? And because maybe that's what they thought that they should be preparing for this week, and instead it's just going to be about the passing attack, even though it's been kind of a down year for Brady.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see the way they attack. I mean, this is my opinion. I think the Chargers, I don't think they're going to play seven defensive backs, but they are light at linebacker. They had to put Jatavis Brown on IR, so they really don't have a lot of options. So I think you're going to see a heavy dime look, six defensive backs. And here's the question for the Patriots. You finished higher in the league in rushing than you did in passing. And I think the Chargers are going to come out and they're going to dare you basically to run the football. And can you do it? Can you make them respect your run game enough to open things up to get that play action pass? Because if I'm the Chargers and it's like play action passes, I'm not even like paying attention. You know, I'm like, whatever, you want to hand off. First of all, it's like Sony Michel's in the game, so you're definitely going to run. So if you go back to run there, it's like we'll just tackle him because we know you're running it when he's in the game. We don't have to worry about you throwing it to him. And then if it's White or Burkhead, I'm playing the pass. So I think if you're the Patriots, this goes back to 2010, the last time they lost a divisional game in this round at home. Rex Ryan came in here. He had 11 defensive backs active that day. They flooded the field with defensive backs. They dared the Patriots to run, and they really couldn't do it. Their two longest runs were 11 yards. They had two 11-yard runs on, you know, basically end arounds to Brandon Tate and Julian Edelman. That the running backs themselves were Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead, and those guys averaged 3.9 yards a carry. And Rex basically said, I don't think you can really run it, and I don't think you really want to. And I think it's the same thing with San Diego. I would look at that and say, or Los Angeles, I think they'd look at it and say, you know, I don't care what your running numbers are. You don't really want to run it, and even if you do, I don't think you can do it.
Brendan in Burlington, you're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello, Brendan.
Brendan! Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So, I don't know who's on the air with you, Jimmy. What's his name?
Chris Casper?
Hey, sorry.
All right. Get it together. Call back. Jesus. It's the same show every Saturday that we're here, 11 to 2.
I'm kind of jealous, man. I think he had a great Friday night, and, yeah. And it was like still going on. Like I think that was the tail end of his Friday night.
Mike and Medford on some of the key matchups in this game. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just want to talk about on defense for the Patriots. I think one of the key matchups is going to be how the linebackers for the Patriots can cover Melvin Gordon, whether he's going to be healthy enough to be effective. I'll just hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks.
So Gordon's been a little bit dinged up.
Yeah.
I thought when he went down, that looked ugly because he's had the knee issue towards the end of the year, mm-hmm. comes back, and then he stays in that game. He doesn't worry me as much as the tight ends do. Like, that's where I think that there's a kind of a bit of a matchup nightmare.
Hunter Henry coming back. I don't know what percentage he's at, but that could change the equation.
Well, even old-ass
Ertz style.
Even old-ass Antonio Gates can still make plays. Virgil Green's okay. Like, just from a size matchup. Just from a size matchup.
Virgil Green stinks.
Okay, but still, just from a size matchup. And Pat Chung, I don't like him in coverage. Like, that's a concern for me.
Well, I think it changes the equation. Like, if it's just Gates, the Patriots have done a pretty good job containing him, and he's at a stage of his career where he's getting by on guile. And so I think, you know, if you, from a professional football standpoint, not from the layman standpoint like you and I, but if you watch enough film, I think you can get a feel for kind of what he's doing, and you can combat that because physically he's not the same guy anymore. But Hunter Henry's really good if he's healthy. I mean, I have no idea what percentage the guy is at, but let's say he's 80%. That's a problem. You know, if he plays in this game and he's like 80%. Now, obviously, it's his first game of the year. Talk about jumping on a moving train. But, I mean, that could be like a Zach Ertz-like issue for the Patriots if he's 80% and comes out and plays well. In terms of the Melvin Gordon and Aaron Eckler and those guys, I expect some sort of wrinkle from the Patriots. I don't think those guys are going to get matched up with linebackers. Maybe they get matched up with, you know, Jonathan Jones, or they're bringing, you know, somebody, Obi Melifonwu. I think they're bringing somebody in who's a little more athletic to match up with those guys. I'd be surprised if they're just like, hey, Kyle Van Noy, go cover Melvin Gordon.
Flynn in Sudbury, you're next here as we're talking Pats Chargers. Hello, Flynn. Flynn! Guys, just, you know, once we pick up, that's when you start talking.
That's a good Friday night.
People are, you know, either that or people are already pre-gaming for the game tomorrow or for the games later today, which I wouldn't blame you. Mark in the car has a comment about the Chargers secondary. Hello, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Big Jim, Gaspar, last week I saw the Chargers safeties playing linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the Patriots, will they have an answer for that? Will they be able to stop that? And then one more question, guys. If the Patriots happen to lose this game, what happens next?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the Chargers did a lot of this last year when they came in here. They played six DBs. They did this last year against the Patriots. The difference is they didn't have Derwin James, who's just a better player. But their safety play is good. It's really good. I mean, you look at what they have there. Jahlil Adai's really good. Obviously, Derwin James is good. They had Rayshon Jenkins playing there. Adrian Phillips is really probably closer to a linebacker than a safety anyway, so he's really well-suited to be used this way. So this was the Patriots have talked about this, and David Andrews talked about this, saying that, you know, having all those DBs out there, it gets a little confusing to try and identify which guy's a linebacker, you know, who's the Mike, you know, who's the Will, who's the Sam, and who's going to actually drop back and play defensive back. He said that they have to do a better job of identifying that than they did last year. So that's one. And then, you know, if the Patriots lose this game, I think it'd be a fascinating offseason. You know, it seems like Gronk's at the end here, and where do the Patriots go to make, do they lose this game, and is it something that lights a fire under Brady and Belichick? Or I know it would light a fire under Brady, or does Belichick just sort of keep taking the long-term view of, you know, we get all these draft picks, and you know, we're going to have, you know, three or four third-round picks, and we'll make those picks and trade back and do that? Or does he try and go out sort of like he did after the 2013 offseason and really upgrade the team?
Yeah, I've resigned myself to that this is it for Rob Gronkowski. Those a hell of a lot smarter than me that actually, you know, cover the team for a living, like Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, like guys that cover the league, they think this is it for Gronk. So he'll be gone, I think, and like those guys think. But other than that, do I think there's going to be any drastic changes? Not really. I mean, Josh McDaniels isn't taking a head coaching job. Brian Flores, he'll be gone. Seems like he's going to the Miami Dolphins. But other than that, drastic changes? Not really. I tend to agree with you, Chris, that you're going to see a reset in terms of Tom Brady's mentality, and that he'll bounce back and have a better year next year. So, I don't know. Like, it'd suck to see them go out this early. But I don't think there's going to be massive, like a massive overhaul.
I mean, honestly, and look, this is a piece of tape that could certainly come back to bite me. But I feel like from a legacy standpoint, they might be better off losing this game. Because if you lose in this round, you know, no one really remembers it. You go to the AFC Championship game and you lose, all of a sudden people are like, well, you know, 8-5 in AFC Championship games. You know, they start holding it against you the same way they do the Super Bowl thing, which is ridiculous. I've always thought that's unfair. It's one of the things in the, you know, Brady-Montana argument. It's like, oh, Montana never lost the Super Bowl. What about the times he got knocked out in the first round?
Yeah.
Like, we're, you know, we're going to penalize another guy for going, you know, farther. So it doesn't really make sense to me. But if you were to look at it from a pure, like, legacy standpoint and the Max Kellermans of the world, if you're going to lose, you're probably better off losing this game than losing the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl.
Isolate that tape and use it against Chris in the future. The Patriots are better off losing tomorrow's game against the Chargers. Use it against them, everybody. I kid, Chris, kind of. Let's touch on some of the other games this weekend, including Colts and Chiefs, which is going to be the first game coming up today, and more of your calls on Patriots-Chargers, 617-779-0985. First, though, let's get caught up in the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McCook.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Andrews back to pass. He fires to the pylon on the left side. It is caught for the touchdown by Dontrell Inman. Inman beat Sharice Wright, the backup corner, on a pass to the front pylon. And Indianapolis has scored its third touchdown of this first half. And the Colts are stunning this crowd.
The Colts can go in there loose. Just cut it loose. I mean, all the talk to me, the Kansas City had won a playoff game.
Correct.
Since here, and Andy Reid in the postseason, and is Pat Mahomes, he going to be able to rise to the occasion? I think the Colts come out there loose and just let it rip.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Let's touch on some of these other games this weekend, including the first one today, Chiefs and Colts. At the very least, it's going to look cool because it's been snowing in Missouri. A buddy of mine who lives in St. Louis said it's like national emergency there because they haven't seen this much snow in a while. But it looks like there's going to be anywhere from like 4 to 8 additional inches from what I was just looking at during the commercial break by game time. So it'll look cool, like Winter Wonderland type of setting. But here's a fact about this game, Chris. There isn't a Chiefs fan in Kansas City, Missouri or Kansas City, Kansas that's not drinking right now and trying to drink that nervousness away from now until kickoff, thanks to this team's continued futility in the playoffs. 0-6 at home since January 94 in the playoffs, like going back to Joe Montana days, and you and I are in high school, or you're younger than me, probably in like 8th grade.
No, I was in high school.
And they're 0-4 all-time against the Colts in the postseason. You got the Lynn Elliott game going back at 95. Loved that one. The no-punt game in 03. The Manning 3-interception game in 06, but Trent Green and Herm Edwards were idiots, so of course they're not going to win that game with those two. And in 2013, you have the 28-point comeback game on the road.
It was a great game.
It was an awesome, awesome wild card weekend game. So 0-4 against the Colts. Look, I get it. The Chiefs, they're deserving of the number one seed. Patrick Mahomes is going to be the NFL MVP, but they can't play defense. Their calling card on defense is they actually have a pass rush, but you're going against the team with the best offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, Brick that's wall. The fewest sacks, yeah.
So something feels like it has to give there. An advantage to me, Colts. That team just looks like they have a little bit of an it factor right now. I give them a real puncher's chance to go in there. And I'm taking the Colts today. I do think that they were assassins on third down last week against Houston. Granted, that Texans team, almost a complete no-show. And Bill O'Brien,
Texans.
Oh, my God. Between him and Romeo Crennel, I don't know who had a worse weekend between those two. But you have to give some credit to the Colts in the way that they started and how that offense looked. And if they can get to 24 to 27 points, I think the Colts can go into Kansas City and pull off a win today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard that you're not going to have safety Mike Mitchell. The one thing I look at in that game, the Colts offensive line is really good, no question about it. But you're playing in one of the most hostile and raucous environments in the NFL. And I've seen teams go in there, the Patriots, one of them, and all of a sudden you're having issues with the snap count. You're getting off the snap later. And that can make all the difference against a really good Kansas City pass rush. And I also wouldn't be surprised if Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, dialed up a few more blitzes than normal, because he knows his secondary is not that great. And he knows it might take a little extra help to fool the Colts. But also, when you look at the Colts, Ebron's had a great year. T.Y. Hilton's been tremendous, even though he's banged up. But right. Do any of those other receivers really scare you?
No.
Like Chester Rogers, Pascal, those guys.
I just, you know, look, they actually are, like, I think, a year ahead of schedule.
I agree.
But, yeah, no, you're right. There's, you know, they're... maybe that's where they get exposed today, because like the talent is limited outside of a handful of players.
I mean, if I'm the Colts, I'd probably go there. And the Chiefs have been terrible against the pass this year. Everybody knows. I think, you know, they're not great in the secondary. It's bad. But part of the numbers, I think, are a product of the numbers they put up on offense and teams having to play from behind. But if I'm the Colts, I sort of adopt a Belichickian game plan where I'm saying, you know what, we're going to try and run the ball, and that's going to keep Mahomes off the field, and it keeps that pass rush at bay, because I don't think those guys, those Chiefs guys, their linebackers aren't great, and I don't think they really want to get their hand, the front seven really wants to get their hands dirty defending the run. They want to tee off and pass rush. So based on the game Marlon Mack had last week and the fact that your offensive line is probably your next best like skill position player besides, you know, Luck and Hilton, I try and run it.
Yeah. The other thing with Mahomes too, like as impressive as he's been this year, in some of the bigger moments, primetime games, the Monday nighter against Seattle, even that ridiculous video game that they had against the Rams that they ended up winning by 3 points.
Baltimore game too.
The Baltimore game, the Chargers Thursday night game. Gets to nut cutting time, gets a little tight. Mahomes, you see a little tightness, and I get it. It's his first year as a starter. He's young, but there's a little gag factor, I feel like, with that kid. There is. So I like the Colts today. In the NFC, those two games tonight, Cowboys, Rams. I'm taking the Cowboys simply because of their defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at some of the Rams' losses late in the season to Chicago and to Philadelphia, you get speed all over the field on those two defenses. They shut that offense down. You see Jared Goff, when he gets confused, the ball keeps going into the dirt. I'm no believer in him anyway. Cowboys, I think, behind the Bears, have the second-best defense in the league this year. Again, speed all over the field. I think they go in there and pull off an upset as long as Dak Prescott doesn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, so I just talked about Kansas City not great against the run. They were 31st in the league, allowing 5 yards per rush. 32nd, Los Angeles Rams. So I think if you're the Cowboys, you go in there with Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott. You try and run the ball. You try and set up the play action and do it that way. And I go back to that game the Cowboys played against the Saints, and that's the moment I was like, oh, this defense is for real. They can get after the passer. You know, they're deep in that secondary. Byron Jones is really good. They have Jordan Lewis. They're deep at corner. So, and I think Chris Richard was maybe the best assistant coach in the league this year. So I like Dallas in that game. I'm riding with the Cowboys there. I think they can slow down the Rams. And I think the Rams, you know, same thing I said, sort of similar to Kansas City. Super talented front. Aaron Donald, I mean, you can make a case for him for MVP. You have Ndamukong Suh. But I think, again, those guys want to tee off and rush the passer. They don't want to, you know, be getting their brains beaten in trying to stop the run. And I think the Cowboys, we just talked about the Chiefs. If the Colts have the best offensive line in football, the Cowboys aren't far behind. So I like the Cowboys in that game.
And then Saints-Eagles, I'm dug in. The Saints were my Super Bowl pick preseason. I felt good about them all year until late in the season. Defense was playing good. You saw a dip in play from Drew Brees.
Yeah.
This Eagles team and this Nick Foles narrative, please go away. Now I can't look. Nick Foles is good, I will admit.
Oh.
As much as he is. And his numbers, oh my God. Someone texted me this earlier this week. Dude, his numbers on third and fourth down in the postseason, they're unbelievable. So, like, let me try to pull this up really
quick. Sure. So basically you're saying now that Foles has signed some sort of long-term deal with the Dallas.
Yeah, he signed an extension with the Satan. He has now become Satan's son.
He's gotten the type of deal that, like, say, a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper would like to get in Major League Baseball if they weren't, you know, suppressing salaries right now.
Nick Foles on third and fourth down in his postseason career, 40 of 52 for 522 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's incredible. So, that's like, insanity. That's a big enough sample size where it's not just like, oh, no, that's just a fluke. You can't say that. Foles, and his second interception last week at Chicago, I was like, ah, finally, he's turning back into pumpkin Nick Foles. Nope, third down, fourth down last week, nails. So while I like the Saints, and they have a great home field advantage, am I going to be shocked if that team goes in there and upsets them? And it feels like that could be the Jets-Patriots thing from 2010, because the worst loss of the year for the Eagles this year was to the Saints.
Oh, good point.
It was like 48-7. It was back about a month ago.
Malcolm Jenkins accused them of running up the score.
Right. And a lot of trash talk after that game. And that was Carson Wentz that started that game, had 3 interceptions. Now you got to face Nick Foles. Like, I'm not going to be shocked if that game's a rock fight and the Eagles went in there.
Really?
Like, so I'm taking the Saints, but I don't feel good about it.
Okay. I feel the opposite of you. I don't know what it is. I just, you know, I think eventually this long national nightmare has to end. And I think the Saints are going to blow doors.
I hope you're right.
I just, you know, the Saints were my pick to win the Super Bowl as well. I think they're just a very balanced team. Obviously, they're rested. They're hard to face in that dome. the Eagles secondary has been a lot better down the stretch. But I still don't believe in their secondary, in those cornerbacks in particular. So I think that the Saints will go out there and they'll be able to throw the ball and they'll be able to get the ball to Kamara. And then once they get a lead, then they can really sort of tee off on Foles. And I thought you saw some signs last week with Foles. You mentioned it that, you know, if you can put some pressure on him, you can get him to make some mistakes. And I just think that eventually the Eagles' number is up. Either that or, you know, they're the 2007 Giants. It's one or the other.
I mean, so it sounds like we're in agreement. You got Saints, I got the Saints. I got the Cowboys, you got the Cowboys. Yep. We're both taking the Pats. But where are you on this Colts-Chiefs game?
I'm taking the Chiefs.
You are taking the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Okay, yeah, I like the home field advantage, and I think Mahomes might airmail a couple of throws early because he's fired up. But at the end of the day, I'm just not sure the Colts have enough weapons. And sort of what solidified it for me is you go back to that game against Houston, and they got off to the great start with the 21 points. And then what happened? Where was the offense after that?
Oh, it felt like they took the foot off, I guess.
You think so?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It felt like they were just kind of biding their time to me.
I don't know. Well, you can't do that against Patrick Mahomes because, as he's proven, again, against Baltimore and some of these other teams, like even the Patriots, the game he lost, I mean, the game's not over till it's over against him. So you can't do that against – I just don't think they can score enough points. That's what it comes down to for me.
All right. We have one open line. You want to join us? You want to talk about any of the other games as well? 617-779-0985. But I promise, right to your calls in our long commercial-free segment next. Talk Pats, Chargers, NFL playoff weekend, and get to the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up at noon here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady will take the snap, go to the knee, and the ball game is over. And we're going to Indianapolis to the AFC Championship game.
I would never, ever react in that way. You guys know me. I'm a very classy person. I'm not going to, you know... I wouldn't have reacted like that. So yes, I was upset, very upset. You know, because when you go to the middle of our field and you start doing, you know, the dance that Sean Merriman is known for, that's disrespectful to me, and I can't sit there and watch that. And so yeah, I was very upset, and just the fact of the way they show no class at all, absolutely no class, and maybe it comes from a head coach. So, you know, there you have it.
Oh, very salty LaDainian Tomlinson. Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Some sound from the AFC Divisional Round Classic back from 06. The Patriots were down 14-3. They ended up winning that game 24-21, a game they had absolutely no business winning. Now, that one you and I can agree on, Chris. At least the 07 AFC Championship game, I hear it. I still get cramps in my stomach. It reminds me of that terrible season. You love the unbeaten season.
I do.
You think it's underrated.
It is underrated.
So we'll disagree
on
that.
5.5 championships.
We'll disagree on that one. But this one, it's one of my top 5 Patriots games of all time. Without question. They had no business winning that game.
And I was there. I mean, I saw it live. And it was like, first of all, that was LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime. Like, he was jaw-droppingly good that year. Like, Randy Moss in 07, good. And I remember it was the first time I saw him live. And he took a handoff. I mean, it was like...
They were at like video game speed.
Yes, it was unbelievable. Also, to this day, just my opinion, the most under duress I've consistently seen Brady. You know, Merriman and Phillips, I think they only got home once a piece, but it was like a track meet, you know, when the ball was snapped. I've never seen him, including Super Bowl 42, I've never seen him that frazzled and have that little amount of time, and his numbers that day were terrible. So that Chargers team was so impressive, and it's one of the reasons why I'm picking the Patriots tomorrow is, again, I just look at it and I feel like that's part of their organizational DNA is to squander opportunities and talent. And that team was 14-2 that year. They were loaded, and all Marlon McCree had to do was a fourth down pass. He intercepts Brady. Just take a knee. That's all you have to do is take a knee. Didn't do it. Got stripped. And not only did they allow that touchdown after that play, but then they you know, the Patriots are going for two. What's the most likely play the Patriots are going
to
run
there? Direct snap.
Yeah, direct snap. Oh, they direct snap at the fuck touchdown.
Jack and Brockton, as we're talking Pat's Chargers. Hello, Jack.
Jim, Chris, great show. Know both your names, unlike one of the previous callers. Just calling in to talk about the extra week off. And I agree with Chris's comments about it's not really going to help the receivers or any of the positional players, but I think it's going to help Bill and his staff to scheme a game plan to help them win that game, which I think they will. I think it's going to be a final 24-21 Pats, and I think Gronk is going to score twice.
Yeah, Gronk, that would be nice. Yeah.
Jack, I do think that as hard as I've been on Rob Gronkowski, and I've said Gronk is dead, you know, like Gronk, he's just now Robert James Gronkowski, just a generic tight end as he's been most of the year. I do think the extra week off will benefit him and Brady, and you might see him pop tomorrow, hopefully. Joe and Revere, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. Gasper kind of just stole my thunder there and pretty much, you know, talked about everything I planned on saying with the organization and how they're kind of just built to lose against the Chargers.
No, please.
So I'm going to go directly to my second point.
Okay.
You know, when are we all going to realize and when are we going to get an answer of why so many times Belichick, the GM, the personnel guy, shoots himself, Belichick, the coach, in the foot? Such as, you know, he's drafting all these plays, he's trading, he's doing, you know, things in free agency to get all these plays, and then here we are. It's like, you know, this isn't a good team. How do you build yourself a bad team when you are the coach? I find it so difficult.
Yeah, Joe, I wish that there was a little bit more, I guess, checks and balances, for lack of a better term, when it came to build the GM, at least in recent years. Especially when it comes to established play or quote unquote established players in the NFL, some of the moves these guys he's brought in, Danny Shelton, you know, that trade for that guy, Adrian Claiborne, who's mostly been useless. Look, even the trade for Dwayne Allen last year, like some of these guys have just been like, but what were you thinking? What did you see? Why? Was it a value thing? So I don't know. I wish there was someone maybe looking over his shoulder a little bit more in terms of some of the personnel decisions. Max in the truck, you're next here on Gasper Murray as we're talking Pat's Chargers, divisional round playoffs. Hello, Max.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I think the Patriots should come out with a high-tempo offense, spread out five wideouts, and throw the ball against the Chargers. And I think this kid, Steven Anderson, they just promoted him from the practice squad. I just looked him up. I think he might have a factor in tomorrow's game. And also, did you guys see Chiefs fans showed up like 7 hours before the game? Or before they can get into the parking lot this morning, I guess. I just saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Go Pats.
Thanks, Max. Yeah, they've been showing it on NFL Network, too. They're probably just trying to beat the snowstorm that's been going on there for what seems like the last 12 hours. They're drinking away that nervousness. Trust me. There isn't a Chiefs fan that – any Chiefs fan you might meet today in the area, if there are any, if you ask them, hey, you confident? And they say yes, they're lying. They don't win their home playoff games. They haven't won one since Joe Montana.
Yeah, it's 93 season. 93 season, 94 calendar year. It's been 25 years.
Last year might have been the most egregious of them all. Like that.
Yeah, that Tennessee team stunk.
Oh, my God. Like, and I enjoyed that. And ultimately, like, okay, yeah, it was great. An easy win for the Patriots, the divisional round. But you knew once the Titans won that game, it's like, okay, well, next week's game is essentially useless. It's another bye for the Pats. That Titans team had no business even getting into the playoffs. And that they pulled off that win. And you remember the pass that bounced off the defender's head and that went back to Marcus Mariota?
Yes.
Like, that's when you, if you were watching that game at the time, it's like, oh, my God, it's happening to this team again. And that's why typically, you don't see history repeat itself all that much. Like, maybe in one case, and you know, that's why one of the reasons I'm taking the Pats, because I do think the Chargers will charger it up, to use the phrase you used earlier. But I think in both cases, you're going to see it, too. The Chiefs, just there's that institutionalized loserdom that hovers over that franchise. And as good as Patrick Mahomes has been this year, I still think it's
the Chiefs
going to screw it up somehow.
The Chiefs also with the Schottenheimer DNA.
Right, exactly. Okay, we'll put the Patriots calls in the conversation on hold for now. We do have to get to the Celtics. A lot to talk about with this team, too. They can't get the hell out of their own way, seemingly. Hey, have a nice run, and then they have this four-game homestand. They wrap it up with a good win over the Indiana Pacers, and then it all unravels in Miami. So we'll get to that and the shoving match between Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown the other night. Next on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, right after the Sports Hub headlines, with Tim McCone.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.